This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytech, brings you Blowing Bubbles. Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world. How are people living their bubble lives? Working from home, keeping kids entertained, and staying connected and getting exercise. And how are these things presenting us with the opportunities to find new ways of living? Every weekday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann, Shan Gallagher, and Mara Karatai reach out from their bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world. Broadcast on Otago Access Radio 105.4 FM and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz and sustainablelens.org, bringing connection, joy, kindness and peace in the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann. I'm not in Sawyers Bay. I'm at Otago Polytechnic Te Pūkenga in central Dunedin. And I am joined today by Givani Forbes-Scott, who is a leopard seal expert. Welcome, Givani.
Kia ora.
Okay, so here's the big question. Why leopard seals?
Oh, that is a good question. I guess it's mostly down to me meeting a leopard seal way back in 2015. I was doing my undergraduate in zoology at the time, and I was told, I was living in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, and I was told by a friend that there was a big seal on the beach. So I went down to go and see it, and I get there and I couldn't believe my eyes. Because straight away I knew it was something a bit different, and I googled photos on my phone to compare it to, and sure enough it was a leopard seal. And I guess that's where the curiosity about leopard seals really triggered for me.
So how do we distinguish a leopard seal?
So in New Zealand, the most common seals we have are actually in the sea lion family. So that's your fur seals and your sea lions. Both of them are in the same family of what are called pinnipeds more generally. And they all have little ears on the sides of their head. And they all have the ability to walk on all fours. So they're flippers they can actually walk on. The seals and sea lions are usually brown to grey in colour, and sometimes with different shading around their bodies, but generally they're a similar colour all around. The leopard seals belong to the family of true seals, so you can't see their ears, they don't have any little ear flaps, and they also can't walk on all fours. So when you see them moving, they'll look more like a caterpillar than like a dog or a seal or sea lion, fur seal. And the leopard seals are, of course, distinguished by what gives them their name, their spots. So they're grey on the top and they've got a white belly, so it's quite a distinct difference in coloration from top to bottom. And then they've got spots all over them, some more than others. But generally, there's dark spots to be seen on the lighter colour of their belly.
So a deep fascination for them. And as somebody who has met leopard seals swimming in the water, I'm an open water swimmer, they're not something that you would want to get close to. At least they don't look like it.
No. So leopard seals do have this really scary reputation. They are famous for eating penguins in Antarctica. And if you watch any documentary, that's probably the only thing you're going to find out about leopard seals. But leopard seals are much like orca in that they are the apex seal. They are up there in their capability of hunting. But they're also, like orca, a very intelligent marine mammal. And researching their interactions with people shows that far more often than not, they're approaching people out of curiosity rather than out of aggression. So in general, when you're in the same space as a large wild animal, it is always important to respect them and respect their space and to try to keep that distance and limit interaction to avoid anything going potentially wrong, giving them any reason that they might feel threatened and need to defend themselves, etc. But leopard seals are generally in the water, curious of people. And on land, they want nothing to do with anyone. They only want to sleep. So if you leave them alone on land, they're highly likely to leave you alone too.
Let's take the first of your music choices. Let's have Fat Freddy's Drop, and we're going to have Hope.
Thank you.
So you've just finished your master's degree on leopard seals.
Yes.
What did you find? I see that you won the Otago 3-minute thesis. So
I did.
I don't know. I don't expect you to remember it, but I do expect you to have a short version.
Yes. So my thesis was on human leopard seal interactions. Basically, how are people experiencing the interaction? How are leopard seals experiencing the interaction? I studied a leopard seal who was living in Auckland, and she was encountering lots of people. So I interviewed people about their experiences with her. And then I also looked at leopard seal behavior in response to people here in Otago to get their perspective of the interaction. And basically my results boiled down to people are quite intimidated by the leopard seals, but there wasn't actually any threatening behavior recorded from the leopard seals' part. And generally, if we give them enough space, then the leopard seals are happy just to have a snooze while they're on the beach. That's all they want to do.
You said that part of it is looking at how the leopard seal is interacting from their perspective. You can't interview a leopard seal. Well, you could, but you probably wouldn't get much that you could understand. How did you work backwards to the leopard seal's perception?
So we use the leopard seal's behavior to give us insight into how they are feeling. So basically, I compared observations of leopard seals when no one was around to disturb them to observations when there were people around to disturb them, and compared the behavior to see, were they more alert? Were they more vigilant? Were they moving away from people? And those can give us clues to whether the leopard seal is disturbed by people or not.
Do you think that when you said that they are curious, are they curious about people? I mean, I know we can't anthropomorphize how they're thinking and feeling, but do we have some kind of understanding of, are they curious about what these other creatures are on the beach?
Curiosity is one of those tricky things to look into for animals, and it is a bit of an anthropomorphization. But generally, they talk about animals being curious as a survival mechanism. If you're curious about your environment and what's in your environment, you can learn from what's going to be useful to you or not useful to you in your environment. So they say, for example, kea are very curious and they investigate everything in their environment because they live in such a harsh environment that's hard for them to survive in. So they need to have that curiosity to enable them to make the most of their environment. And I think the same could possibly be said for leopard seals.
And again, being careful about the transferring how we would describe it, can we tell anything about their intelligence?
There hasn't been much research particularly into leopard seal intelligence. They are very under-researched species, very hard to access for research in the first place. But if you're an apex predator, you need to have a certain level of intelligence to be able to hunt out your prey. And they've also got a very large brain size, which isn't a perfect indicator for intelligence, but can give you some idea of an animal's capacity for intelligence. I think most of our thoughts about leopard seal intelligence is based on the intelligence of similar creatures as well. Other seals and dolphins and marine mammals are often regarded as quite intelligent species.
And are they, do they have social groups?
No. So leopard seals are somewhat unique in the seal and sea lion world in that they seem to be quite solitary. Again, we know very little about their social dynamics, but generally they're seen alone.
Presumably not all the time.
No, presumably not all the time. However, no one's actually seen the mate even before. So, we know very, very little. We do know that they seem to sing to each other. So they are heard singing in Antarctica, and it's thought that that's their main form of communication and connecting with other seals over long distances. And they are seen at the same hunting grounds. But again, very little to no research in terms of their actual social interactions.
Is the leopard seal that we have, is that endemic to New Zealand or...?
That's a great question. We have no idea where the leopard seals are coming from that we see in New Zealand. In Otago, we're seeing a very seasonal presence. So we're seeing, I haven't known of any visiting or being seen in autumn, and we get this huge spike in sightings around spring. So that would imply that perhaps they're not in New Zealand over autumn. But there's been no tracking of leopard seals between New Zealand and somewhere else in the world. We do know one did travel, it was marked in Tasmania and ended up in Oamaru. So we know where that one came from. But in general, we don't know where they're coming and going from. It's assumed they probably do come from Antarctica because that's where the majority of the population is. But we've also got Māori middens that date back to the beginning of human arrival. So we know that they've been seen in New Zealand as long as we've been here. So it's a big question as to whether perhaps they used to live here. Maybe we had an endemic leopard seal before human arrival. But as with the sea lions and almost the fur seals, they might have gone extinct from New Zealand for a time after human arrival. We might just be seeing some arrive from somewhere else now.
When you said one was marked, do you mean it was like, was it tagged? Do people get close enough to put tracking things on them?
Yes, so my understanding is this one was given an identification tag. Currently, we mostly use the spots and photos to identify them. There have been some researchers around Antarctica who have put GPS tags on leopard seals. Most of those deployments have been shorter term, though, and so the longest distance GPS tracked that I'm aware of was between South Georgia Island and the Antarctic sea ice.
So when you're recognising them by the spots, is it distinctive?
Yes. So just like a fingerprint, as we say, the spot pattern on a leopard seal is unique to each individual. And although some spots do fade or appear, generally there are spots that don't change over time as well.
And is it obvious enough that you can walk up to a beach and say, oh, it's Mary?
100%, yes. So I have a personal ID catalogue of all the individuals that I've seen. So I can go through the photos that I've taken of seals that I've already seen and check an individual that I'm looking at on the beach as to whether it's one I've seen before or not.
Are we seeing both genders on the beach?
We are. I've seen almost an exact 50-50 split with males and females.
And are they all juveniles or what's the sort of the age range of what we're seeing?
Yeah, so they are mostly what we would classify as juveniles. The aging of leopard seals is quite tricky though. It's based on a little bit of research that looked at the rings on their teeth, which is like a rings on a tree, is the best way to tell an age. And so that was compared to the length of the leopard seals that were in this study. However, the study was, I think, less than 20 individuals. And that's what informs our age measurement today. So basically, I get a rough estimate of the size of a leopard seal I see, and then I say, okay, it's below 2.7 metres, that means it's a juvenile. If it's over, it's an adult. The majority of leopard seals I'm seeing around Otago are around the 2 meter mark or around the 2.5 meter mark. So from that, I'd be estimating their age at 1 to 3 years old. But I do also see several adults as well.
So is it likely that they're out cruising before returning somewhere else to settle down?
Yeah, that is definitely a potential hypothesis. We do see exploratory behaviour in a lot of kind of, I guess, teenage seals and sea lions. So it could be part of that teenage exploration phase. There's also been a hypothesis floated that the juveniles are outcompeted by the adults further south, and so they have to move further afield to find food without competition, basically.
And you first saw them in Auckland, which surprised me. I thought they were a more southern thing, and if they're living mostly in Antarctica, you'd think that they would be weighted towards this end of the country, or are they sort of just randomly spread around?
I would say we see more down south than we see up north. There was an individual leopard seal named Orpha who made Auckland her home for 7 years, but she seems to be somewhat of a special case, as we haven't recorded anything like that anywhere else in the country. But we do get a number of leopard seals turn up in the North Island every year. And it is something that's happening around the globe. So we're seeing leopard seals are getting seen around South America, around Australia, and also some turning up in South Africa. So it does seem the further north, the fewer you are getting. But there's still a lot of work to be done on understanding what constitutes a normal distribution for leopard seals.
So if we think that the ones we're seeing are only a few years old, how long do they live?
That's pretty much an assumption based on other seals, would be early to mid-20s.
Okay. So it's a constant stream rather than the same ones coming back year and year?
Yes. Yeah, so I haven't, apart from Orpha, identified the same individual across years, although leopard seal years do go across summer, so I kind of count leopard seal years as from June to June. So across those leopard seal years, I haven't seen the same individual again year on year.
So we don't have any idea if it's the same families reappearing?
No, there's been no genetic work on the leopard seals in New Zealand that I know of. And so that is something that would be really interesting to study, is actually look at the ancient remains that we have from the Māori middens and compare those genetics to the leopard seals we are currently seeing and compare those genetics to Antarctic leopard seals. That would hopefully give us a better idea of did we used to have our own population in New Zealand and perhaps where the leopard seals we are seeing now are coming from.
Bubble Sprite of the Forest of Orokanui, Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, nga mihi aroha nui kia koutou, ko tahua ho. I hope you're all having the best day, beautiful superstars and your beloved universes, and I really hope wherever you are and whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together is proving to be very rewarding, very sustaining, and illuminating for you more and more each day who you are, a triumph of nature's art, perfect, unique, and here, making things better. Thank you. Now, I know that for us all, the last several years have been very tough, and here we are together, navigating so many new challenges and opportunities and hurdles to overcome. And of course, we can support each other in all of these adventures. And it's so important that we connect with that inner nurturer within us who can support, love, care, give time to, give space to, talk things through with ourselves and with those around us. And all of us innately possess this beautiful inner nurturer. And it's wonderful to cultivate a relationship with that part of ourselves and encourage that part of ourselves to grow and become stronger. How lucky we are. And it's a beautiful day here in Aotearoa, Dunedin, as always. And I'm gazing out on the verdant hills of Ōpōhō, North East Valley. All these houses, all these lives, all these stories, all these colours, all of these places that people go every day and return home to. And I know for many of us that this time of year is a time of change and a time of reconnection, a time of reunion with our whānau and friends. And it's also a time, of course, for reflection, everything that's taken place in the year and how we're feeling about that. And of course, always the opportunity every day for new beginnings and new approaches. And when challenges do come our way, as they have, and as they will continue to, I'm sure, we can always do our best to reframe that sense of anxiety, that sense of worry, that sense of fear, into a sense of courage and a sense of bravery that we think, what is this teaching me? What is this opportunity here? And I know that for us all, we'll have so many ways that we can help each other. And sharing our ideas and sharing our different skills is so important as we make our way into the future. And I know for myself, I'm really looking forward to being back up at my heart's home workplace, Orokonui Eco Sanctuary, on Thursday this week, and I'll be visiting beautiful Waimarie and frolicking through the forest, and hopefully see the baby taka here, who last time obviously was having a bath in the pond, which was very beautiful. And yes, I'm really hoping that, you know, it will be a lovely day for Middle March school. We'll have lots of fun. We'll have Spider-Man and Lizard Woman, and I'll be there at the pond with Waimarie, so I think it will be lovely. And we've got year 0 to 2 students, so that'll be very, very sweet. And I really hope that when we go to visit Tokoriti School on Friday, that we have a lovely time with them and enjoy exploring their school and looking at all the beautiful nature that's there. So I'm excited for those things. And I hear that our dear Sam is off to India, which is very exciting. So I hope you have a wonderful time, Sam. And I'm really, really grateful to Sam and Moira and Jivani, who was the star this week, hearing all those amazing stories about the beautiful leopard seal and all her work. And I remember one night I met her on the beach. There was a big leopard seal there. She was filming this beautiful leopard seal. And it started singing to us. And it was only the third time that a leopard seal had been recorded singing. So it was very, very special and beautiful, you know. And I just thought, oh, how fantastic, you know, how beautiful, how lucky we are to live here in this ultimate paradise. So wherever you're returning to, wherever you are making those connections, I hope that they're very, very rewarding for you and they help you to see yourself and your myriad skills in new ways. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much. Ka kite.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Jivani Forbes-Scott. We're talking about leopard seals. Is there something about particular beaches around Otago and Southland that they're favouring?
That's a very good question. I do think that they prefer sand over rocks. It's probably a bit more comfortable for them. And there are certain hot spots where I've definitely seen more leopard seals than other places. But all of my leopard seal sightings are based on people seeing the leopard seal, recognizing it's a leopard seal and reporting it to me, and then me being able to get there as well. So it's definitely hard to extrapolate what is leopard seal preference from what is human access. But I think definitely sandy beaches seem to be their favourite. And unlike seals and sea lions, they're often seen near the high tide line, so they don't often go very far above the high tide line. And so that is something more common. They will be on the beach rather than hiding on the rocks or hiding in the sand dunes.
Well, if they can't walk, they're not going to go far.
Exactly, exactly. And their preference seems to be moving on land as little as possible.
Can they move quickly on the beach if they want to?
They can pick up a good pace on land if they really need to. I've only seen a leopard seal move relatively quickly once, and that was on a very windy day. And I did read that in Antarctica they see fewer leopard seals on land on windy days. So maybe she might have been trying to get away from the wind, but generally they don't move super quickly. But yes, if they wanted to, they can move relatively quickly, not as quickly as a sea lion or a fur seal could.
So you said that you've just finished your master's. Does that mean you're doing your master's through the lockdowns?
Yes. So I was studying them through the lockdowns. Luckily, the first lockdown was over autumn, so it didn't affect my ability to go and see them too much. But the second lockdown that affected Dunedin was at the beginning of spring, so that did affect my ability to go and see them a little bit. But I've seen at least 10 individuals each year since I've moved to Dunedin. So I've done pretty well for actually being able to get out and see them. And I do take every opportunity still that I can get, because there's so much to learn about them. Every opportunity to observe them is an opportunity to learn something new about them.
So when you go to, and someone's reported one on a beach and you go to visit it, what's your process?
I guess the first priority is assessing the area and making sure that the area is safe for both me and the seal. Once that's done, my next priority is usually photographs. So I'm attempting to get photographs to use for photo ID. That can be easier said than done if the leopard seal's not in the right position or it's covered in sand, but you just do the best you can. I never approach the leopard seal closely or harass it to get certain photos. With leopard seal, it's all about patience. They don't do much often. They are just there to sleep. And so often it's a waiting game to get all the photo angles I need. So I try to get each side of the face and body, and then also a belly shot if possible, as the belly also tells me whether it's male or female, depending on the presence or absence of a penile opening. And after that, it's usually just observation, see what they do, record what's going on around them. And then sometimes if they leave and have left behind a present, I'll collect that present and send it to other researchers to study their diet.
And are you finding the same individuals like moving up and down? Like, is it like a quick visit to this area and then they clear off? Or are they staying around for a while?
Yeah, so it varies. Sometimes I'll see an individual once and that's all I know about it. Again, it comes down to people seeing them, reporting them, us having photos to track that individual. So a couple of notable individuals. I did meet one female at Kaka Point, and then the next day I got a call to go to one that was at Pilots Beach at Tairoa Head. And I went out there thinking it was probably a different leopard seal, but then on review of the photos, I realised it was actually the same leopard seal, had travelled from Kaka Point to Tairoa Head in under 24 hours. So that was quite impressive, but of course not unheard of. If they're moving long distances to get here, then it makes sense that that's within their capacity. But it's the first time I'd actually recorded such a travel. There was another individual who was based in Oamaru for 100 days between my first and last sightings of her. She was a little bit under the weather, so that might have also contributed to it. But I have seen quite a few individuals stay around for, you know, up to 2 or 3 months. It all depends on whether I get to see them again. We do know of an individual this year that was seen in Wellington early in spring and then was actually later seen in Christchurch. But in my experience, it is rare to be able to track individuals like that.
We've been talking mostly about human interaction being about seeing them on the beach. Are we interacting with them in any other ways? And I'm thinking fishing boats and surfers, the people who are in the water, on the water.
Reports in the water are definitely rarer. I mean, it's all about being in the right place at the right time. Even when they're on land, it's incredibly difficult to predict when and where they're going to be. There are some records of leopard seals being caught in trawl nets, but generally leopard seal interactions with fisheries is not well documented or potentially not happening. And then in terms of the people meeting them in the water, I'm sure it does happen a lot. There hasn't been a systematic process to record those interactions. But when those interactions are occurring, it's generally, it would be the leopard seal having a nosy at what's going on and then probably swimming away once they've satisfied their curiosity. So my advice to anyone meeting one in the water would just be to try your best to remain calm and be as least interactive as possible. Make your way out of the water if possible. I did interview a couple of people who were in the water with Orpha, and they said that she basically just followed them around and watched what they were doing and until they exited the water. So I generally expect, based on my research and the other research that's been done that interviewed divers in Antarctica, that a leopard seal is unlikely to want to physically interact with people if it's a shorter encounter where you're able to, you know, quietly and slowly take yourself away from the situation.
With us, we were swimming at Aramoana, around by where the old wharf was, and we were swimming into town, and it came underneath us, swam underneath us and looked up, and we stopped and said we should get out, and then it got out, so we carried on swimming.
Right, yeah. I think with wildlife, it's usually if you can keep your cool and just observe them as well and try to give them a bit more space, that's the best way to go about it.
Is there something about how humans and leopard seals interact that we can use for learning about other things, other wildlife interactions?
I'd say generally the rules for interacting with wildlife are similar, in that wildlife don't want to get into a fight with us. Their main goal is to do what they feel they need to do without getting into a fight. Usually if an animal is becoming interactive with people, it's because they feel threatened and they need to defend themselves, need to defend young. Or sometimes it is out of curiosity and that inquisitiveness that some of these creatures, and definitely most seals, have. Leopard seals are somewhat different to, say, the other seals, so fur seals and sea lions, and that because they are solitary, they're probably less interested in interacting with us, whereas, say, a sea lion might approach us as if we're another sea lion, a leopard seal's not going to approach us because they wouldn't approach another leopard seal.
So finished your master's. What's next? I heard you mention a PhD.
Yes, I'm definitely considering doing a PhD, and I think I will work towards that. But I want to take some time in between to explore the world a bit, open my horizons a bit, and gain a bit more experience. But I'm definitely interested in researching leopard seals a bit more in the future.
So it would be leopard seals?
At this stage, I've got so many questions left to answer about them that there's a good chance the PhD could be on leopard seals. But I've always maintained that I can't really choose them as a favourite. There are plenty of other amazing creatures and questions out there. So it'll be a mystery until I commit as to exactly what my PhD will be on.
What's the biggest burning question you've got at the moment?
For leopard seals, the biggest question is their movements. Where are they going to? Where are they coming from? What is normal distribution of leopard seals? Is it part of that juvenile part of their life stage? That's kind of the biggest question, I think, in understanding their ecology is quite important. But also, in my heart of hearts, I love animal behaviour, and to understand their social interactions more would be a dream project as well.
I suppose when we don't understand so much about their ecology and in particular things like their movements, it's difficult to say much about how they're going to be affected by climate change.
Exactly. So because we know so little really about their ecology and their movements, it's hard to understand exactly what is normal for them, what's being affected by climate change. And there is potential, if we're getting leopard seals in New Zealand, if we understood more about them, we could use them as a to understand climate change impacts as well. So I think there's a lot of potential there for understanding that.
I would imagine that they themselves would be pretty resilient. It's probably the food that will that'll change.
They eat everything from krill to small seals, and so they are theoretically highly adaptable to different environments. So it's potential that if we understood where they're coming from, we could use isotope analysis, for example, to understand what they've been feeding on and understand what the food chain is looking like where they've been. But we'd need to understand where they've been first to learn things like that from them.
So if somebody sees one on the beach, what's the general behaviour? What's the rule of thumb? What should we do?
So I guess the first step is spotting them. They can blend into the beach very well. So they can, even though they're grey and white, sometimes look just like a part of the sand or like a log. It's a similar story with the other seals, especially around Dunedin. Every lump on the beach could actually be a seal rather than an inanimate object. So keeping an eye out for them as you are moving around is important so that you don't accidentally walk into them. And once you have spotted them, just making sure you give them a good amount of space. We recommend 20 metres. That's to ensure that they aren't disturbed. They are there to get the rest that they need. And we have no idea how long they've been at sea before they've come here to rest. So it's really important that we make sure they get the rest that they want. And then reporting them to the Department of Conservation is helpful because they help to monitor leopard seals and also help to enforce keeping that space safe for them. So that's really helpful. And if people have nice cameras with a zoom lens when they can take photos from more than 20 metres away, leopardseals.org collects photos of leopard seals from around the country and actually any sighting report as well to monitor what's happening around the country.
20 metres is quite a long way away, isn't it?
Yeah, visualize two buses between you and the seal, and that's a good distance to be away. And of course, keeping dogs on a leash and around that area, I'd say if you can keep your dog on a lead within 50 meters, that way your dog's not going to turn around and run back to the seal without you. And if you are a dog walker, being aware of what's ahead of you and what your dog might be running into before you see it as well is important.
So I have some questions to end the show. What is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
Well, I'd probably have to say finishing the thesis. It's not usually an easy feat, and I definitely had some obstacles in my way. So it's definitely, I guess, the biggest achievement is actually managing to finish that.
That's an MSc?
Yes, Master of Science, yeah.
So we're writing a book of these conversations. It's called Tomorrow's Heroes. So you'll be in that book. What's your superpower? Oh, wow.
Determination. Determination to continue on no matter what.
Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
In a way, I'd say educator. I guess activism is important because it brings attention to issues, but I think sometimes activism can be seen as polarizing, and I do like to work with people rather than against people.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
I think we're so privileged to have these creatures around us, and to spend time with them is, I guess, the greatest joy. So that's what motivates me is protecting them and getting to spend time with them.
So what's the biggest challenge or opportunity that you're looking forward to in the next year or so?
Gosh, I guess at this stage in my life, the world's my oyster. So it's quite challenging to choose what's next, really. And I think there's many opportunities out there. I guess my key goal at the moment and passion is understanding how seals and people are getting along. And so I am hoping to understand that further, both here in Dunedin and also elsewhere around the world. So a bit challenging to decide what to do next and where to go next, but plenty of opportunities out there to explore seals and human interactions further.
I think some study into how seals, leopard seals in particular, enjoy the tropics. Somewhere warmer would be good.
I actually prefer the colder climates a little bit. So I don't mind actually Dunedin's weather or even going further south. But no, that definitely is an interesting question. The furthest north I know of a leopard seal getting is Angola. So definitely understanding what the northern limits of normal for leopard seals are would definitely be an interesting question.
I don't suppose it would be a sensible research design to just go and sit on a beach in Fiji and wait.
No, even in Dunedin, with how many leopard seals we get here, that would still be difficult. So.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
In terms of
anything you like,
I would say the one thing that keeps me going is picking one thing that I think I can make a little bit better in the world, and doing that gives me purpose in life. So if I ever feel sad or depressed about horrible things going on in the world, I just remind myself that if everyone picks one little thing, it doesn't have to be huge, to try to make a little bit better in the world, that's a billions of things better. So that's one thing that keeps me going.
That is great advice. Thank you very much for joining me.
No, thank you.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.